looking especially at verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. We have looked at the background to the I am statements. I am is the name of Jehovah, and he revealed his name as I am that I am to Moses in the wilderness. And since that time, the people of God looked to I am. And as we saw last week, I am became incarnate. Jesus Christ is himself the I am, Jehovah, God in the flesh. And understanding who he is allows us to know more of what he does. And that's the purpose of all the metaphorical I am statements. They are a revelation. Who Jesus Christ is and what he does and gives towards his people. So when we go through these seven I am statements, we must have in our minds why Jesus is saying it. He's saying it for you who are Christians, to tell you again who he is and what he is giving you. And here in John 6, we have the first I am metaphorical statement. I am the bread of life. And the purpose of this statement is to say to everyone that Christ alone will satisfy the soul. Christ alone will satisfy the soul. If anyone comes to Jesus Christ by faith, they will never have a lack. They will never have an empty soul, but he will fill their souls and they shall be satisfied. And as Christians, we need to be reminded of this again and again, because we have our flesh crying out, that's better for us. That will bring us peace. That will satisfy us. We have the world looking so beautiful and glamorous, say, come to me, I'll give you joy. Come to me, I'll give you what you need. And of course, we have the evil one with these demonic hordes seeking to take our eyes off Christ onto the world. So we as Christians must know again and again and again that Christ alone satisfies our souls. But this statement is not in a vacuum. It's in a context. And the first part of this context is Jesus Christ teaching us that our greatest need is spiritual. Our greatest need is spiritual. At the start of the chapter, Jesus has fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. People have been absolutely amazed at this. And they follow him. They look for him. They seek him. And we get that. If someone turned up in town and performed these miracles where he would be able to give an abundance of food so that everyone could be filled and there was multiple baskets left over, I'm sure people would follow this one to town, city to city, country to country. So because they are amazed, they seek Jesus. But verse 26 tells us the nature of their seeking. Jesus says to them, verily, verily, when he says that, we perk up our ears. I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They are seeking Jesus not for spiritual need, but for material, temporal need. He's saying here, you're not following me for the right reasons. You're not following me because you see me and who I am, because you seek me not because of the miracles. Because what's the purpose of the miracles? Well, when John, they're signs. And they're signs pointing towards who Jesus is. When Jesus performed the first sign, turned the water into wine, it revealed what? His glory. And this sign in John 6, who can perform such a miracle? God alone. Therefore, look to Jesus as God incarnate, the Savior. But they don't see the sign, they look at the thing done. And so, what are they looking for? Not the Jesus of the Savior, not the Jesus who is Lord, not Jesus the Messiah, not the Jesus who is God incarnate, the Jesus who has come to fill their bellies. That's what it says. You came not for these miracles because you saw them, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They came for bread. The only thing they saw Jesus good for was to fill their bellies. Because if he's done that there, and if we follow him, we've got an endless stream of food. The supply will never end. We can have our food day in and day out. Isn't that wonderful? And as they seek for this food, they are seeking to be filled by their food. They have a lack. They have a need, they have a desire, and when they eat the loaves, it fills that desire, or in other words, it satisfies them. And Jesus is saying, this is wrong. And so much of this is the church today, that people are in pews. People fill the pews of 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 plus stadiums. And they're there for forgiveness of sins, for spiritual communion, for putting sin to death, for putting on holiness. No, but for bread, for material things to satisfy them. Because whenever Jesus is presented as a miracle worker alone who provides material goods, people will always follow Jesus. If you go to the jails, what do we experience there? People wanting Jesus. People wanting to read their Bibles. If you go to poor places, what do you find? Easy to preach Jesus to them. Easy. You go to people who maybe are having a bad time. There's family problems. There's work problems. There's other problems, substance problems. They will gladly hear Jesus. But once they either find that which they want, a new job, more money, more safety or security, Jesus goes away and they're after that thing. Or once they find out Christianity does not guarantee these things and you might have to suffer and lack, well, that's not what I signed up for. That's not the Jesus I want or need. And they go away. That's the attitude of these people, which speaks the truth of Romans 3. No one seeks God, no, not one. If they seek church or quote-unquote Jesus, it's because of a false, idolatrous view of God who is to beckon to their every whim. That's why we have the health and the wealth gospel. That's why we have the name it and claim it. That's why we have people in jail committing crimes saying they're Christians and following the Lord. Because of their heart. Their greatest need, they would say, are things. Material things. For the people here in John 6, bread. But for today, what's man looking for satisfaction, for fulfillment, for meaning, and for purpose? Could be work. It's lawful things, but the purpose should not be in that. Work. Entertainments. Sports. Sex. Substances. Parties. Children. Husband or a wife. Most of the things I've mentioned are good and lawful. But when we make them the thing that satisfies us or gives us the fulfillment of a need, that's the problem here. Because you will never, ever satisfy your soul with any of these things. You will not have love, joy, peace, comfort, meaning, and purpose supplied to your soul in these things. Why? Because Jesus tells us they perish. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. These things will perish. The brightness will go dim. The excitement will be dulled. They will disappoint you. They will never give you peace and joy and love and a clear conscience and guilt-free attitude. It cannot. The world cannot. Be it food. Be it the fashion world. Be it work and promotions and success. Be it money and mansions and jets. Be it status and reputations. None of these things will work. You will look for joy, you will look for meaning, and you will look for purpose, and it will always, always come short. Because they will perish. As Christ says in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's what will happen to me. That will happen to you. That's what will happen to the world if they seek fulfillment and satisfaction and meaning in anything in this world. The reason why is because what we have, we are not merely body, material. We are body and soul. We have to remember that. I know most people in here, and we all agree in that, we know that, but we're living in a world that denies it, so it's good to remember. Remember what Christ says, the first works. We have souls as well as bodies. And the soul is immortal. When God breathed life into man in the garden, the soul is immortal, undying, never ending. The soul is the faculties of fellowship, love, joy, peace. And in the soul, in the heart of man, eternity has been placed. Ecclesiastes 3:1, he hath made everything beautiful in his time, also he hath set the world in their heart. The word world there is not the word world, it's the word eternity. God has set eternity in our hearts. That's why, even though we know the news, even though we know the facts, we just don't get it, we're not going to live forever. In these bodies, at least. Eternity. That's why we're always fighting for new medical science. Because we have a sense of eternity. And when we were in the garden, the sense of eternity and the immortal soul was satisfied by God because it was made for God. He would have fellowship with man. He would share and participate in our lives. He would give us everything we need. He would show his love towards us, and we would be full of joy. And there would be a peace. There was no sin. There was rest because there was no strife or enmity. That was man in the garden in the image of God with a soul. And only God could satisfy that soul because God created us with that immortality and he alone satisfies it. But there was a problem, as we know, sin. Sin entered into the world. And sure, our souls are polluted. Sure, our souls are totally depraved, but they're not destroyed. They're still immortal. That's why we will ultimately live forever, whether in heaven or hell. We still have eternity on our hearts and our souls. And so temporal things can never satisfy us. Money, family, sports, whatever it is, can never satisfy us because they're all temporal. And our hearts, our souls are immortal and have eternity set in them. And so we're always longing and craving and looking for that which will fill us, and it never, ever will be. And that's the context of the I Am statement. And then Jesus stands before them and he speaks to them about how he alone fills our spiritual need. Because this people just don't understand it. They're carnal, they're unregenerate. And they say, if you truly are the true bread, show us a sign. How blind. What did he do the previous episode? He just fed the 5,000. That's only men. Imagine the women and the children on top with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were blind. And then they give an example. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, they're thinking of Moses. Do you know how good Moses is? He didn't just multiply bread. It came raining down from the sky. Can you do that? And so Jesus takes that picture, that illustration of Exodus 16, when God gave the manna, not Moses. And if you read Exodus 16, Moses says, Jehovah has given you the bread. But they're so carnal, they can't think. And Jesus says, no, 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 you don't understand. Moses didn't give you the bread. My Father gave you that bread. It came from God himself. And here's the statement. I am the bread of life. He is saying here that I alone can satisfy your deep longing. I alone have come to provide what man needs. I am the bread of life. He is not saying here, I'm going to provide bread for people. He's not saying, I'm going to provide something for people. He is saying, me, myself, I am the bread of life. I am the one who has come. I will satisfy the hunger. I will satisfy the thirst. I will satisfy the longing of man. And he alone can, because he is God. I am Jehovah. I am that I am. As I am gave the manna from heaven before, I am stands before you, before your very eyes, the flesh of my skin. I am right here. I am not temporal. I do not get dulled and lose my sparkle. I am that I am. I am eternal. No beginning and no end and no sequence. I am immutable, unchangeable. I am the bread of life. That's why I use the story. Bread, representing food, satisfies the human physical hunger. Jesus Christ, I am bread that satisfies your soul. I am the food for your soul. And he alone is the true bread. He alone is the bread of heaven. He is alone the bread of life. Bread is necessary for life. Food is necessary for life. If no one here was to eat food for the next week or so, you would die. If man just ceased from eating any food, we would die. It's necessary. And so is Christ. Christ is necessary for your soul. Because if you do not have Christ, you will die. And we're speaking here of spiritual death, the second death. Where you go to the place of death in eternal torments. Bread is also nourishing. What's the purpose of bread? You're weak. You lack. You need. And then you have some food. And it's a wonderful feeling if you've been really hungry, then you eat. Like you're just invigorated, strengthened. It's like moments. And you have the energy. And if you're feeling down and you just have something to eat, you can feel so much better. That's what Christ is. He nourishes us. Because he is the bread of life. Life here is not speaking about mere physical life, though all life comes from Christ. It's speaking of spiritual life. Life that we need in the soul. Because he is the bread of life, because he is life itself. In him was the fullness of life. John 1:4. And he has that life because he is righteous. In the divine nature and in the human nature, but speaking here of the God-man, he is righteous. Even as Jehovah. No impure thing, no sin. Which means there's no anger, no hatred, no dispeace, no restlessness in God. There's only the need of peace, the need of rest when there's enmity and strife. But God is in need of nothing. He is righteous. Which means there is a relationship, a harmony, a fellowship in God. And in a fellowship where there's no division, no disagreement, no hurt, no pain, no sin, means there's joy. Is that not what we're looking for in our souls? Joy and happiness. There's joy absolute in God. And that joy has love. The love between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a life of love in the Godhead. It's wonderful. And he's come as the bread of life to give this to man. Man has no righteousness because we're sinners, because we have guilt because of our sin. We need righteousness for the soul. There's unhappiness and misery because of sin. Sure, there's fleeting experiences of happiness, but they go away because of the sin, the pain, the hurt, the misery. There is no peace and no rest. We looked at it last week. There's no peace in man. Enmity, anger, bigotry, racism, oppression, disobedience, dishonoring. Our tongues are an open sepulchre. How often have we hurt people, even we love, with our tongues? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Christ says, I am the bread of life. And I can give you all these things to satisfy your soul. You look for it here. You look for it there. You look for it in this. You look for it in that. And you'll never find it, and it's perishing. But I am the bread of life. And how do you receive this life? How do you receive this bread that satisfies your soul? Well, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You come to him. This is what they didn't get. What works shall we do? What law shall we keep? How many synagogues do we need to go to? How many almsgiving do we have to give? No. These are the works of God. You believe on me. That's what coming to Christ means. You believe in him. That's why there's a parallel here. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Just takes illustration. Food, hunger, and also if we don't have any drink, if we don't have water, we'll perish too, therefore thirst. You come to him by believing on him, by resting in him, by embracing him. And the picture is given later in verse 51 is eating. Just as we eat bread, he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's not literal. That's why the people here didn't understand it. They were unregenerate and carnal. Just like Roman Catholics, they're unregenerate and carnal. And so they look at the Mass there and say, oh, this is the beginning of the Lord's Supper, that you have to physically eat Christ. They're just like the Pharisees here. They're just like the Jews. He's speaking spiritually. When there's food and you want to receive its strength, what do? You eat that food. When Christ is the bread of life, what do? You eat that. You believe in him. You come to him. But to come to him and to really come to him, we need to have something first. A hunger. You can't eat unless there's a sense of hunger. You can't come to Christ unless there's a sense of hunger in your soul for him. Hunger, again, is to what? To lack. To be devoid and deficient in something. And you have a longing desire to fulfill that lack. And so if you're hungry physically, you look for food. And spiritually, if you're hungry, you look for Christ. And here in John 6:44, Christ tells us no one can have this hunger until there's a work of God in the soul. Until there's a work of God in the soul, every man, woman, and child will be as carnal as the Jews here. But he says, no man can come unto me. No one is able until what? The Father draws us by the Holy Spirit. Irresistible grace, effectual calling. But when the Holy Spirit starts working on someone, they first of all have a hunger. And it's a spiritual hunger. It is, the blessed are the poor in spirit. I am a sinner. I have no righteousness in myself. I am under the guilt of God. There's no peace. There's no real joy. There's no comfort. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. I am empty and I have nothing. And you can only truly come to Christ when you have that hunger. Without that hunger, there is no coming. That's why there's false conversion and true conversion. This was the experience of the prodigal son. He lived this life for material goods. And then what happens to him? Luke 15:17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." He realized he was in the place that he had nothing outside of his father. And that's what we all need. That's what we all need to understand. That's why we go to jails and we're discouraged at times. That's why we go to the streets and we're discouraged at times. This is why we go and witness to our friends and our family so often we're discouraged, because they say they believe in Jesus. They say they want to go to church. They say, but they're carnal. They don't have the spiritual hunger. They have the physical hunger for these temporal things, but the spiritual hunger they lack. But when the Spirit of God is working in someone, they will have a hunger spiritually. This is what we need in the church today. Otherwise, conviction of sin. Far too many people are saying they're coming to Christ. We're lowering the bar too low, even in the Reformed church. If we read our forefathers, they would think even the Reformed church today is easy believism. Just believe in Jesus. Okay, absolutely, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But why? Conviction of sin. Poverty of spirit. Blessed are they who are mourning. Let's have children. And when they're 15, we'll put a catechism class. And if they agree with the truth, we'll become members. Absolutely not. Not saying we don't have catechism classes in that, don't get me wrong, but you don't say, "Do you agree with the catechism?" Then come be a member. Do you believe this truth for yourselves? Are you a sinner? Do you recognize your guilt? Do you recognize Christ alone fulfills? Yes, become members, don't get me wrong, but do not have the sequence of necessarily catechism class, agree. There are people in hell who believe the catechisms. Conviction of sin. I was reading a biography of Frank Jenner, who we've mentioned before from this pulpit, the Australian evangelist. And one testimony of a sailor during the Second World War. Jenner just ran up to him and says, "If you were to die tonight, where would you go, heaven or hell?" And they spoke for 60 seconds, and then he went away in his tram and never saw Jenner again. But the man's retelling his story. He said for 18 months he could not get sleep. His soul was ablaze at the conviction of sin. And then God graciously converted that man when he finally believed the gospel. That's what we need today. Conviction of sin and spiritual hunger. Because then if you have a hunger and you have a need, you will know exactly who alone is able to supply that need: Christ. You won't look for your soul's help in things of this world that are temporal, but the righteousness you need, Christ alone, his obedience, the sacrifice I need for my sin, Christ alone on the cross. The peace I need in my life, Christ. I'm so miserable. I'm cold and I'm lukewarm and I need help. Where will I go? Christ. Do you have a hunger for Christ, people? Do you have a sense outside of Christ you lack? I'm speaking here to Christians, not non-Christians. Think of John 15, without me ye can do nothing. Where if you, outside of Christ, have a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, something wrong with your soul. And if I am looking for help and guidance and peace and rest and righteousness or whatever it is after Christ, then I have a problem with my soul. But if you do have a sense that outside of grace and outside of Christ, I have nothing, take that for a comfort for your soul. Take that as a mark of true conversion. And then your result is, but I do have Christ. I do have the gospel. Well, my friends, you have something the world doesn't even understand. You have satisfaction. He says, I am the bread of life. If any man comes to me, what happens? They will never hunger. It's not to say that we don't continue to strive in the Christian life. Of course we do. It doesn't mean we don't continue to long after him and seek to grow, of course. It's speaking about our souls here. Our souls need something. Christ is that bread of life and he fulfills everything. Our souls need righteousness. Oh, how he's my righteousness. Because when you have Christ, you have real life. Real life. He is the bread of life, giving you his life. He gives you his life. Is that not Galatians 2:20? Union with Christ? It is no longer I who lives. No. It is Christ who lives in me. Because when you exercise faith in Christ, Christ lives in you. Ephesians 3:17. He dwells in our heart by faith. And when he's residing in our heart, what does he do? He gives eternal life. Through the word, through prayer, through faith, this Christ has satisfied our souls because we never, ever have to look anywhere else again for righteousness. He's fulfilled it. It's on our account, which means there's no more guilt for Christians. No more guilt. Isn't that amazing? People in this world have such restlessness because of guilt. They've said things, they've done things, they've looked at things. It's a shame. But see, we are Christians. We are sinners, but it's all in Christ. And there's no guilt anymore. And that's why it says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because in our souls, there's peace now. Peace with God, peace with man, peace with circumstances. It's fulfilled. Don't have to worry. There is now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. That's you, Christian. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel condemned. Don't let past sins put guilt on you. Don't let Satan put his arrows of guilt on you. Just throw them away and say, Christ. Christ, you're not going to have my peace, Satan. You're not going to have my peace, world. Joy. He gives us joy because I'm my happiness when I know that Christ's mine. And I can be poor. I can lose job. I can lose circumstance. I can lose my house. They're bad. I will grieve these things, of course. But it will never take away my joy. You know, America's declining. Who knows what's going to happen? Some people think the fear factor, we're all going to be persecuted, like Korea or something. I don't think so, but they say it happens. It's not going to take away my joy. I hope by God's Spirit and grace, all of us can say, I will count it all joy to suffer for him. That's why when we go to the jails, it's not even when we go to the streets, it's not even when we speak to family members, and if they're suffering, things are just not going their way. It's misery. Because the reality of their soul is their craving, longing is for material things. And it's never going to give them joy. That's why they're sullen and sad. But we who are Christians, our souls are satisfied in Christ and they have joy. That's why Paul is such a testimony to these things. We know Paul, the apostle. He was someone who suffered greatly. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was really hungry. We don't know hungry in the Western world. Other countries very much do. He had no food. He had no water. He said at one point he was naked. He had no clothes. And then he had this thing. We don't know what it is, the thorn in the flesh. It was something at least he didn't want. Something that was a stumbling block, a pain maybe. Who knows? And he prays, as we all should pray for things. Lord, I'm sick, take it away. Lord, I have cancer, take it away. Lord, I you know, of course we pray, and the Lord answers in his will. But in the answer to Paul, it was, no, it's not going away. Now, if Paul did not have his soul satisfied by the bread of life, complaints, murmurings, grumblings. But because Paul's soul was satisfied in Christ, let's see what he says. First of all, Christ speaks to him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Christ is giving him his promises. And then Paul's response, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I take pleasure in being hated. I take pleasure in being beaten. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in my weakness. You know why? Because I have Christ. Someone with a carnal heart will never have that because they will look for that in things and it will never supply. But if you are a Christian and you come to Christ, which you are, and you believe if you're a Christian, then feast upon him. I am the bread of life. It's all in me, Christ says. And it's in you if you're a Christian. You have it. You possess it. Eat me. Believe me. Come to me. Don't ever have the sense of guilt or condemnation. Don't have the sense of dissatisfaction. Don't have the sense of joylessness and unhappiness and restlessness and peacelessness. Don't, Christian, don't. If you are, think why. What's going on? Where am I seeking the answers to all these things? And if you're seeking them anywhere else, you are going to be restless. You are going to be peaceless. You are going to be joyless. But, if you're a Christian and you feast upon the I Am, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, you will have his life in your soul. And all the things, righteousness, holiness, fellowship, love, joy, peace, comfort, meaning, purpose, all of them are for you. And this is not just temporal, this is eternal. This is the meat that endureth forever. You see, we can get some hints of joy and happiness in this world with things. We love our children. We love going on vacations. We're thankful for nature. And we go for walks and hiking. And we can do many things, and that's great. But sometimes they just get dull. Sometimes they just go away. They fade. I can go to certain places that give me real joy, I'm really excited, but see if I have to go there every day for 2 months, I'm sure it would lack. I'm looking forward this week, for example, going to the Creation Museum, looking forward to learning, praising God. But you know what? I know if I had to go there every day for a month, I'd soon get bored. There's only so much you can do and read. Well, that's not Christ. Christ is not something, you know what, maybe for 1,000 years, maybe for 1,000,000 years, but see, after that, come on, we need something new, something fresh. Not with Christ. Why? Because this bread of life is I am eternal. So your immortal soul that has eternity on it will be satisfied by Christ, who is greater, for he is eternal. He is immutable in his beauty and in his glory. And your eye and your ear, they have not even begun to see, and they can never completely comprehend what is in Christ. And in 1,000,000 years, and 1,000,000,000 years in time, you will never be dissatisfied, because Christ will be even more glorious every day in heaven. You won't see a wee dullness. You won't see something that's polished up. You won't see the light bulb go and you have to replace it. He will constantly and forever be who he is. I am. And so now and for eternity, Jesus Christ has come into this world to satisfy and to provide what the soul of his people need. My friends, this is Christ. This is who he is, I am. This is what he has come to give to you who believe, bread of life. Believe in it, friends. Grow in it. Rejoice in it. Praise him for it. And unlike the carnal Jews here, unlike anyone in the world who does not believe in Christ, you will be filled and satisfied now and forevermore. Amen. And may the Lord bless us with Christ, the bread of life. Let's pray.